Inside Douglas County, 1243.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here in the Umpqua Valley. Congressman Cliff Bence joining us now. Congressman, I know things happening back in where you are today. Thanks for getting across the way and getting on with us.
Well, I'm sorry. I apologize for being late, Kyle. When you're speaking with a senior member of Congress, despite repeated signals that I needed to get out of the room, he wasn't taking them. So anyway, I'm glad I'm with you now.
So this does mean, though, that you're back in Washington, D.C., correct?
That is correct. I came back on Sunday.
And kind of give us an update, your perspective regarding the continuing shutdown of the federal government.
Well, let me begin by saying it shouldn't be shut down. We Republicans voted for keeping it open over 4 weeks ago and sent the bill over to the Senate. And it stalled out there because in order to pass anything in the Senate, you have to have 60 votes. And we Republicans only have 53. So a few Democrats joined us, but we need five more. So it shut down because of five Democrats out of the 40 that vote otherwise, voting, you know, they haven't joined us. And it makes no sense because we voted to keep the government open and they're voting to close it. And why they would do this to people is beyond me.
Now, very few Democrats, as you mentioned, have changed their votes. Do you see a trend here? Do you think more will move that direction?
Well, you'd think so. With SNAP benefits ending this coming weekend and with the military, they've managed to pay for the past month, but I doubt it looking forward with airlines running into all kinds of difficulty because people are calling in sick and not being able to run control towers. I mean, this is all on the Democrats. They need to be, those five people need to change their votes to yes, and all of a sudden all of this goes back to normal. It's beyond me why they are holding the American people hostage. It makes no sense.
Now, of course, the Democrats paint a bigger or rather a different picture. What do you think their thoughts are?
Their argument is that they're going to hold the government hostage. In their own words, they're going to damage people because they want to use the shutdown as a continuing threat until those of us on the Republican side of the aisle agree to spend $1.5 trillion and that they want spent in a certain way. They're the minority, basically, in this case, five people, because that's what it would take to go ahead and reopen the government. But they're busy talking about the only thing they talk about. They don't mention the $1.5 trillion they've actually put in their continuing resolution. What they talk about is the extension of certain tax credits that were put in place during COVID. And the idea was to drive down the cost of Obamacare, the ACA, the so-called Affordable Care Act. It should be called the Non-Affordable Care Act, but they want to continue those subsidies. They're proving, by the way, that it's most assuredly not affordable unless you have the government throw in literally hundreds of billions of dollars. But they would make the argument that this is their chance to hold the American people hostage until the Republicans give them what they want.
Now, we talked to somebody from one of the food banks this morning. We've got another email and press releases in. A lot of concerns from the food banks about the SNAP benefit situation. 757,000 Oregonians, including many here in Douglas County in both the 2nd and 4th congressional districts, are recipients. I think the number I heard today was about 20% of the statewide number is here for Douglas County. A lot of concern about frankly, the number of people coming in for help is already going up. These food banks are very worried about what's going to happen next week. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are the people who are on SNAP need to immediately contact Senator Merkley and Senator Wyden and say, be part of the five Democrats in the Senate to vote for reopening the government, and this instantly gets fixed. So why in the world people are looking at the Republicans when we already voted to open the government? This is a situation where they the Democrats are basically saying, we're going to hold the American people hostage, including all of those on food stamps, or excuse me, SNAP, until they get what they want. Well, where does that end, Kyle? What happens if they said, well, we want you to force the president to resign, as opposed to just asking for just $1.5 trillion? This kind of blackmail, where's the end to it? So we just basically have no. Get five of the Democrat senators to step up and join all of the Republicans, I think, except for one. So we need 52 Republicans voting yes, and get this thing passed. I mean, come on. This is terrible that people are going to be without SNAP benefits. It's bad news. But the answer is to have the Democrat senators step up. And we have two of them right here in our state, Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley. They're both voting no to keep the government shut down and basically rob people of food. It makes no sense.
Now, why can't the federal government move some other funds to cover the SNAP benefits?
We had that conversation actually just a couple of hours ago during a conference call, and the chairman of the Agriculture Committee, G.T. Thompson, explained that the money that's available in being held in reserve for SNAP is for emergencies like hurricanes and tornadoes and other things. So if you spend it now, where are you going to get it later? And so the point is, you don't spend your seed corn at this particular point in this crazy situation, particularly where it would take five Democrat senators to step up and vote to end this. It makes no sense. So the short answer is, the money that they've scraped together to pay the military is a one-time occurrence, because then you're out of money. And so many of these things are not allowed under the law. So the proper solution is five Democrat senators need to step up, vote for a clean CR, which we Republicans passed 4 weeks ago. So this is all on the Democrats.
You mentioned coming back to Washington, D.C. Have the other House members come back as well?
Quite a few. I've been in my office most of the day, but I've been going around and meeting with various Congressmen and women, and talking to them about different projects that we have ongoing, legislation that we have pending. And so I don't have a count of how many are here, but a bunch are.
And is that perhaps a sign that maybe we're closer to the end on this?
Well, you probably have to need to be in the Senate to know the answer to that question. It's going to take five Democrat senators to step up, and those conversations are ongoing, as I understand, and have been for all 4 weeks. But what's happening is the far left of the Democrat Party is threatening anybody that happens to break ranks with a primary, and I think that's why you don't see those five stepping up. And notice I said the far left, because that's exactly what's happening. Senator Schumer, Leader Schumer, and others are worried about a primary coming at them if they fail to just keep sitting here, letting people go hungry and letting the military not get paid and letting our air systems become more and more dangerous.
Sounds like more and more people, sort of politics aside, have gotten fairly tired of this than some of the national polling. Do you think this may ultimately backfire maybe on both parties?
Well, I can't imagine, if people haven't taken the time to study it, that it would do anything other than backfire on both parties. But that's why I'm so happy to be on your radio show and be able to say, look, we passed a clean CR 4 weeks ago. There's no surprises in it. It keeps the government open and keeps all the things that people have that are so essential, like SNAP benefits and like our military and like air traffic controllers and like the border security, paid. And so for anybody to say that it's the Republicans' fault, what would they say? That we Republicans cave in and hand over $1.5 trillion to the Democrats? I mean, what are they going to ask for next? This isn't the first time that they'll play this card. If we cave into them now, the CR only goes until the 21st of November. What happens on the 22nd? We start over? So this is one of those situations where the Democrats have made a play. They basically have said, this is what we want, and we're going to make people suffer until we get it. And that's not how democracy is supposed to work. And so for them to be doing this is reprehensible and extremely damaging to an awful lot of people, and come this weekend, an awful lot more.
Do you feel like this may go on through that date in November? That'd be almost another month.
Which date? I'm sorry, which date in November are you talking about?
Oh, you mentioned the expiration of the clean CR.
Oh, the clean, yeah, 21st. I anticipate that it could, but what would end up happening is, as we've discussed it in our Republican conference, is we would bring either an amended CR or a new CR to the floor and pass it once again with a new date, and probably the date would be close to the end of the year. But the point is, if you give in to extortionary efforts such as the Democrats are engaging in, what are they going to ask for next? That's why I said, if they get their $1.5 trillion, why wouldn't they ask for something else, other crazy thing like the resignation of President Trump carried to its extreme? I'm making that up. They haven't asked for that. What I'm trying to say is that if you give in to someone that's holding you hostage, where does it end?
And as you've been talking to other members of Congress, I don't know if you've had too many opportunities for conversations across the aisle since you've gotten back, but do you feel like a lot of at least the GOP is pretty much sharing what you've been sharing with us?
I would say 99% is. There's a few exceptions. Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying otherwise, but I'm going to say that she is a party of one at this point.
So right now, everything's stalled out. Talk about what you have been able to work on during this period of time.
Well, my team and I made a list the last couple of days, or lists, of all of the things that we have going right now. Of course, we're working on what might be the types of conversations that would occur after the government reopens in the healthcare space, because there's lots of room for improvement in the healthcare space, and I mean it, whether we would focus on insurance or whether we would focus on the $50 billion that we've included in our bill that the Democrats, for whatever reason, want to repeal, the $50 billion that would go to rural hospitals. It's beyond me why they want to do that. But in their $1.5 trillion repeal that they're asking for right now is the $50 billion that's supposed to go to rural hospitals. So we've been working on discussing those kinds of issues. I've been working on many different energy-related issues because, as I've mentioned in previous conversations, in Oregon, we are extraordinarily close to having rolling blackouts, and that is because of some of the crazy energy policies that Salem has passed, banning natural gas and banning other types of imported electricity generated by coal. These kinds of things have left Oregon in dire straits when it comes to energy. So I've been working on that issue. And in fact, that was with the meeting I was having when I was late for our discussion this afternoon.
What's your level of concern? I mean, it sounds like it's pretty much near the top on this potential blackout situation.
Well, so the way it's been explained to me is that if we have another cold snap like we had 2 years ago, we very likely will not have the ability to provide power to everybody at the same time, and that's why you get rolling blackouts. So we just have to hope that we don't end up with really, really cold weather, the so-called polar vortex. If that happens again, then we could literally end up with rolling blackouts, depending upon how much water we have in the Columbia. If we have a drought, then we don't have enough water in the Columbia to generate power, then we're going to end up without enough of it. And this again takes us back to the fact that the Democrat majority in Salem has banned the use of natural gas, and thus the readily available energy that we have, we can't seem to somehow build any of that kind of generation in Oregon. It makes absolutely no sense. And now what's happened is we have people wondering how in the world they're going to pay their electric bills, because the cost of electricity is going through the roof. And part of it is because you can't get any more natural gas. It's crazy. It's crazy, Kyle. But what's happening is many of these policies that are ill thought out, ill conceived, and then passed are coming home to roost. And it's taking the form of higher and higher and higher electricity bills.
About 30 seconds left. Congressman, what else would you like to share with folks in your district?
Well, obviously, there's been a great deal of concern expressed over on the eastern half of my district, or the eastern half of Oregon, over the president's remarks regarding cattle and his attempt to drive down cattle prices. As you might imagine, that's been received very poorly by anybody in the cattle business, because it's taken the price of live cattle that the people rely upon in many parts of this district to pay their bills. It's taken it down by 40 to 50 cents a pound.
We're going to have to...
Or it gets better.
Congressman, we're going to have to stop there. We're out of time. Congressman Cliff Bentz from Washington, D.C., thanks for being on with us for the update.
Thank you, Kyle.
1259 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.